Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, as a lead into to this topic here, let's replay it one more time. Here's what it sounded like last year when the Texans took C.J. Stroud with the second pick.
With the second pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State.
Right, and the crowd went wild. Bryce Young had just been picked a few picks before that, gotten his little hat that he perched on top of his head and went and did his interview.
What's up, guys? How
are you doing? Did they have to, was he like a kid where like on the, it was a snapback? Did they have to like put it, you know, and the kids have the snapback and there's like a huge loose flap.
I just know he had it piled on top of his head. Like he almost, you know, like it was Bryce, you know, it was like literally, you know, he's got all that hair up.
I can't even remember what his hair was like at the time.
He had a lot of hair going on at the time. So then CJ gets picked and CJ does his thing. And we wondered at that point, like, okay, you know, there was legit debate around the NFL, like which quarterback is better set up to have success. Remember that? Like which one, you know, which quarterback
it was overwhelmingly the Panthers.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly just, boy, they got Frank Reich. I mean, it's going to be Frank Reich and Bryce Young for decades together, you know, not to mention they got Josh McCown.
Right.
You got Josh McCown. How can you go wrong on that?
It unraveled quickly in Carolina.
They didn't even last half a season.
They didn't. Frank Reich and the whole staff gone by midway. Most of the staff gone by midway through the season. And so they did a, the beat writer for Carolina's last name, Joe Person is his name.
Person?
He's not a generic. He's not made out of AI.
It
or
does
anything.
Sound. Yeah. Hey, Mish, Ben, what's it called when you're a character in a video game? That doesn't like have
NPC?
A
NPC.
What is it?
NPC, non-playable character.
Non-playable character. He's an NPC. He's an NPC.
Joe Person.
Joe Person.
Right next to Billy Human.
Yeah.
So, but Joe Person, actual person, we think.
I thought NPC stood for not a person of color, as in like something.
Yeah, I
always feel like somebody, whenever anybody's insulted me by saying NPC, I feel like they're calling me a cracker or something. when in fact they're just saying, no, you're just dull.
Yeah,
you're inconsequential
you're
is all you are.
You're non-playable. That's a good insult. So they did it. Joe Person did a deep dive on what all went wrong in Carolina. As you can imagine, it's a very long article.
Yeah.
A lot went wrong.
That's what The Athletic likes to do too.
Couple things here. One I didn't realize, Bill Polian was working as a consultant for the Carolina Panthers last year. So naturally, Bill Polian is standing on the table as to Bryce was still the right choice here in this
article.
Because
Polian and Capers both were back in the fold. Because Capers was working as an advisor to the defensive coordinator. I'm blanking on his name. He was a candidate.
Oh,
for the
Ejiro
Texans.
Evero.
Yeah. Because those two hadn't always, you know, once they split ways, it seems like, you know, Polian's a little, anyway.
So Polian.
How did Polian screw this up?
Polian says, to use one season where at least one quarterback, Bryce, never had a chance because of people around him in all phases, pass protection, weapons, aside from Chuba Hubbard. So I don't know why he throws that in. You make a judgment, probably because he helped pick Chuba Hubbard a couple years ago. And you make a judgment based on that is utterly fallacious.
Utterly fallacious. Yeah, good job, Bill Polian. You really run it. You're a slam dunk job there with that team of yours.
Fallacious
right there.
Sounds like we're teaching.
Performing fallacious on these guys?
Yes. Or,
nobody wants that from you.
No. So Polian says, I think what you saw was a tremendously courageous performance by a kid who's tough as nails. Are you checking to see if he dumped it?
Poor Ben was really going hard on that one.
I think what you saw, this is Polian, I think what you saw was a tremendously courageous performance by a kid who's tough as nails, and he got better as a passer, both with accuracy and speed of decision-making as the season went along. How he survived 60 sacks is a tribute to both his resilience and his toughness. I actually can get with that. He got
this
sacked
is still
a bunch
Bill Polian?
Of Bill Polian talking about Bryce Young. The guy won't shut up. And nobody can play efficiently under that kind of duress. So apparently,
you know, we had a really bad offensive line last year, like right from the get-go.
Who, Seth?
CJ Stroud was playing with four backup offensive linemen right from the start.
Yeah, but that was against that was the, you know, that was the Pittsburgh game, and they probably got blown out by Pitt. Oh no, that's right. They beat Pittsburgh 30-6.
That's right.
That
yeah. Well, and including the Ravens game was when that's when Laramie got injured. Was in the Ravens game, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
So they finished that game with four backup offensive linemen.
Yeah, Laramie didn't play really till week five.
It was just the Ravens that the Texans were going against in that game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
what about that? Nobody could have survived that. Apparently,
that supporting cast in Carolina, I guess, just wasn't as good as everybody thought. This is the part that would, if I'm a, as I read this, if I'm a Bears fan, because one of the things about Caleb Williams, as we, you know, have broken down extensively over the last few days, his painted fingernails, crying in his mother's bosom, not going to press conferences after losses, things like that, just the general strangeness, the eccentricities that go on with Caleb Williams. He also might have a helicopter dad. Right?
Yeah.
His dad is very present. I don't think he has an agent right now. I think his dad acts, or he has like a marketing team or something.
Right, right.
Like that.
And his dad sounds pretty savvy. Like he knows what he's doing, but it's always that classic, like,
know,
okay, is he a little too close to the situation?
And what if it gets bad?
Some of the stuff, like some of the stuff floated out there, you know, not as much recently as before the season or during the season, like Caleb Williams camp asking about ownership in the team that drafts him. It's hard to know whether, okay, were somebody just asking questions or were they pushing for something.
Right.
So I try not to read too much into that.
When the season, this is Craig Young, Bryce Young's dad. This is a quote for this. This isn't a quote, the repurposing from before the draft. This is, he said, when the season ended, we were projected to be the number one pick. But then as the process was going, that's when all the experts and pundits do their evaluation on TV and ESPN. That's kind of when we were being picked apart about our size and the weight.
Our size and the weight,
but we knew once we got through that, then there's the process of your interviews. You have your pro day, you do more interviews, and then they relook at the film again. So we knew that the back end of the process was where we were going to shine.
Yeah.
This is the dad, mind you, referring to we.
Not refusing to talk about his son in the third
in
person.
The third person.
This is the
We knew we were going to throw well.
Yeah, yeah.
And we knew we were going to interview well.
Yeah.
And we knew that we had the film.
Right.
So we were very confident that no matter where we went, no matter if it was one, two, or three, we were going to get picked very high, and we were at peace with that.
Good job. I'm glad it all worked out for them.
this three-headed monster that
is
Bryce.
How tall is his dad? Is his dad short, too?
I don't know. Probably. I'm not sure.
How tall is the milkman?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
What if his dad is like 6'9"?
Does that bug you like it bugs me the whole week through well
I'm
and
trying to figure out
and
if,
week
like,
through that?
I'm trying to figure out if it would be like if CJ's mom talked that way, would I be annoyed with it? No, I don't think so. I feel like it's okay.
I don't think she would. That's the thing.
And sometimes, like, there's times where I try to talk about, like, use we as much as possible to really stress, even if only to myself, that it's a team effort in something.
Yeah.
You know, you always want to, you don't want to be somebody that says I too much. But now this wouldn't be him saying I. It would be just talking about your actual son
his
as an
son,
individual
it's
human
where
being.
The one where it pushed me over the edge was we knew we were going to throw well. Like, he's out there standing next to him. The two of them are out there in gym shorts throwing balls through hoops or something like that.
It was painted as a positive that Bryce Young's dad was a psychologist.
Yeah.
What if his dad is more of like a Hannibal Lecter type of psychologist or psychiatrist?
That sure
what
makes the just, next few years awfully interesting.
A little bit of a lot of this we talk comes in handy when it's time to, I don't know, put all that money in a trust fund or something and decide who's got control over it. Hey, we just got a big signing bonus.
Yeah.
I feel like he prepped his son through psychological mind games for decades, like talking about the we as opposed to the you.
Yes.
Because that meant when it came time to put that money in the bank, we put it in our bank
account. Our bank account. Yes. First person. There's a couple other nuggets that I found interesting in this article that I think you'll find interesting as well. One is that evidently when they were going through the vetting process, the Panthers, you know, they sent a cast of thousands to go see everybody.
Right,
you know,
right. The whole owner, damn front office.
The whole front office went. One of the data points in the process was an interview, was a dinner they had at an Italian restaurant in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
Mecca of Italian food, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. But they went to an Italian restaurant. And
they only just started letting Italians in the early 70s.
Thank God. And now they've got all these great restaurants.
It was only then because there was a good quarterback or something.
So the Panthers are interviewing Bryce Young at this Italian, or they're having dinner with him.
Yeah.
Across the restaurant are sitting the Raiders brass, who after Bryce was done with the Panthers, he's going to walk across the restaurant and go sit with them.
I remember that. I remember the kind of, because people were talking about like, okay, how do you figure
turn
out how much
Luigi's
you eat?
Into like the combine or something.
Especially
like
when you're
that.
A little guy, you don't want to look like you eat like a bird, you know? So what do you, you know, you don't want to just order the salad or something when you're with the Panthers and then go over to the Raiders.
I'm going to tell you
if
right
I had
now,
to choose, I feel like the Raiders would be the team that you want to have the big steak for.
Oh yeah,
they're more likely to judge you. Like there's something that comes over people when they enter that organization where you got to live up to the mystique,
the
you
ethos,
know?
Yeah, the commitment to excellence, yeah.
Or no, I'll just like kind of like the badass renegade, like I'm a man's man type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, commitment to eating.
The excellence is that's been a little shoddier over the last
here and there. That wouldn't be the table with the Panthers because you know what they're fixated on, the S2 score.
Yeah.
Quote from this article.
Oh.
Tepper thought the S2 was the greatest thing ever.
Yes.
End quote.
This is the biggest mistake.
I feel like I just found the holy grail for you with this.
Well, no, this is the biggest mistake people make sometimes when they start talking about hedge fund owners.
Yeah.
Like when I say that, I mean owners who made their money in hedge funds or what have you.
Yeah.
You got to realize that, yeah, Dave Tepper was an engineer and all that, and he's a bright enough guy, but largely people that make a boatload of money in hedge funds are really good salesmen first and foremost. And it takes a little bit of luck maybe too to get your double digit returns before everything falls apart in your bad year. So I do think that this is not the same. The hedge fund owners that fall in love with some S2 cognition test, it's almost like it's in their DNA to be like, oh, I can sell this. Like in his mind, he's like, wow, look at this test. Look at the results. I could go and sell a hedge fund based on the S2
this
test.
Is a prospectus.
Yeah.
You know?
Versus, like, I feel like an actual hardcore scientist ideally would be more like, well, wait a second. Like, let's look at the sample size that we're talking about and all of his, like, and they wouldn't have fallen whole hog in love with it the way they did.
Right.
And ultimately, that's why I don't buy that as many executives would have been for Bryce Young over CJ Stroud if they were the ones actually handing in the draft card.
Yeah.
I think Bryce Young's size, not to mention his erratic footwork and a lot of these other things that, like, you know, you look at Drew Brees, who overcome being 2 inches taller than Bryce Young. And like a lot of stuff had to be perfect for Drew Brees. He had to be nails with his timing and anticipation. He changed his mechanics to give him a little bit of extra height, all this stuff that Bryce Young just didn't do. And I think when you actually meet him in person, I think there are a lot of executives that would have been freaked out about the size.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think that having an owner who's obsessed with the stats and metrics and everything might have been ultimately what did them in.
And was the perfect thing for the Texans, right?
Yeah.
It's that team that traded up to go get the number one pick.
I mean, there's just no... Look, we're looking at a world where people thought Will Levis was going to go in the top four. You know, this isn't just that one Reddit commenter.
Yeah.
That was like Daniel Jeremiah and those people had Will Levis going in the top
That's
four.
Right.
I think there are probably a lot of executives just like with Will Levis that would have passed. They would have passed without hesitation on Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Because of his size. And it's simple. You might think that's sizist or what have you. Fine. Cancel me for being sizist, apparently.
Right.
I think he's too small. Like, how small? At some point, you have to draw a line. Like, at some point, like, is 5'1" too small to be an NFL quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah, right. It's 5'2", too small to be an NFL quarterback.
Still too small.
So it's somewhere along the line, you're too small to be an NFL quarterback, because it's not just his height either. It's his height coupled with a lack of genuine athleticism at the NFL level.
Yeah.
And a lack of
Bulk.
Bulk. So, body
skinny
size.
Skinny little bird frame.
Yeah. He's just not a big dude.
Nope.
Kyler Murray is a bigger, thicker dude than, and not
Russell
to mention,
Wilson
he's an incredible athlete,
yeah,
too.
Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield.
Russell Wilson, way thicker. Yeah.
Yep. Hey, did you happen to see Antonio Brown on CTE ESPN yesterday announce his retirement, that he's retiring as a Raider? Now, keep in mind, if you don't know why that's funny.
Threatening to kill Mike Mayock.
If you don't know why that's funny,
yeah.
Antonio Brown put together a Hall of Fame resume with the Steelers and then was traded to the Raiders. As we all know, he eventually played a game for the Patriots and then played a couple of seasons for Tampa Bay. In between, a stint that won't show up on the back of his football card is his stint in Oakland as a Raider, because the Steelers traded him to the Raiders at the end of after the 2018 season. So in the 2019 offseason in March, they traded him to the Raiders. And he was all gung-ho about being a Raider, man. There's video of him hugging Mark Davis, and he was all gung-ho until training camp rolled around. And then these are the things that happened literally within the matter of a few weeks with Antonio Brown in August. Keep in mind, John Gruden was the coach and Mike Mayock was the GM of the Raiders at the time. Those guys consummated this deal and they thought they were getting a steal. We're getting Antonio Brown, Hall of Famer. He got frostbite on his feet from not wearing footwear in a cryo chamber.
I forgot about it.
That's that's what started the cycle of bloodshed here, like literal bloodshed. He had like scabs on the bottom of his feet. So there was that. So he couldn't practice at first at training camp because of frostbite on his feet. He had issues over which helmet he could use. Remember, he wanted to use one of the older helmets, and he threatened to retire if they wouldn't let him use a certain helmet. So he was just being difficult. And then, the coup de grace was when he got into it with Mike Mayock, the GM, at a practice, like a shouting match, and ended up screaming at him and calling him a cracker.
That's right.
He called Mike Mayock a cracker, grabbed a ball, and punted it and said, "Go get that, cracker." Missed practices, missed meetings, and eventually he was released before ever playing a game as an Oakland Raider. Antonio Brown announced his retirement. He wants to retire as a Raider.
Well, he also he's just turned into a professional troll right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty good at it. Mike Mayock. He hasn't tweeted since 2018. He was let go from the Raiders in 2022.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
He's back on TV.
He is?
Yeah.
Where?
I've seen and heard him. I don't know exactly. He was the color analyst on Notre Dame football for a long, long time, and he was excellent.
Yeah.
He was really good because that was his world. Like, he was a draft guru.
Right.
So he knew everything about everybody. Jason Garrett's on there now, and it's awful. He's terrible. Jason Garrett stinks.
It's just so weird to me that they can't find a good Notre Dame alum to do that color commentary role for Notre Dame.
It is weird.
Weird. It's like it's like Stanford or something. You got a lot of bright people that go to that school. It seems like you should have
that
somebody
are in broadcasting.
That's able to string together a few sentences about Joe Alt or something.
I wonder if they've asked Brady Quinn to do it. I think he'd be pretty good at it.
Does he have color? Broadcaster.
Does he
is he colorful?
Is he Brady?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Is this part? Are we gonna call somebody Buddy again here?
No, I'm saying
Does he have a sizzly personality?
Yeah.
He's pretty good on that studio show on Fox.
Yeah, I think and especially if you're following the team for the entire year.
Yeah.
That would be I think he would be
quarterback.
Good at it.
You know, he played there. He knows what it's like to be the guy there. So I think he'd be pretty good. He's on Fox, so he'd have to get out of his contract to do it.
I would think I would take a lot less money. Well, maybe not a lot less, but I'd take less money to go do just to be a color commentator for my alma mater.
Oh yeah,
it's
like six games
a year. If I could somehow
year.
Make this, maybe I could now. I wonder if I could make. How can I figure out a way to make as much money as I do now by being the Cornell color commentator?
I'll let you.
I got to figure something out with a local business.
I'll let you put that puzzle together. Yes, NIL.
Yeah, I got to get it on a patent from the engineering school or something somehow.
How little respect does the Astros front office have right now around baseball?
Oh.
It's been quantified.
Oh,
we will have that. But I think they may have gotten one right, though. I think this five-headed monster might have gotten one right. We'll get to that coming up next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we're going to get to the storylines for tonight's night one of the NFL draft in the final segment in about 15, 20 minutes or so.
One of our listeners gave us clarification on what the what Will Anderson said to D'Amico after he was drafted.
Yeah, Ben, pull up, if you could, Ben, pull up Will Anderson's phone calls with Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans. Yeah, here was Will Anderson on the phone with the Texans brass after they traded up to get him last year.
What's up?
How we doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Congratulations, Nick Caserio.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
You got it, brother. Happy to have you. We're so excited to have you here. Can't wait for you to get here.
Thank
so,
you.
D'Amico's right here. I'm going to put him on the phone, all right?
All right.
All right, thanks. Yep.
Let's go, my man. Let's go.
Peace out, bye.
All right, that's what we were what he was saying there. We were guessing as to what was being said right there.
Yeah, I was way off, yeah.
Would you say peace of mind?
I thought it was something Alabama. Somebody had said like, oh, it's an Alabama thing, but no.
Yeah, so it turns out he was saying B sci-fi, like Omega sci-fi, the second most popular black college fraternity behind the Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity. That's from listener Kyle sent
so
that.
So they were they're fraternity brothers.
Yeah, man.
Obviously different times, but at the same school.
Yeah.
So there you go. Which is, I feel like I don't know. I feel like that's a good advertisement for the fraternity, too.
I think so, too. That's a fraternity that's got some good dudes in it. They're two for two, as far as I'm concerned.
It's like seeing some of the dances guys
no,
do.
No, they accept me in that fraternity. But
well, yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, I don't know what things are like these days.
Yeah.
But, some of the...
A little more latitude now.
Well, but you got to be a tough-ass SOB to make it through the pledge.
That's what
process.
I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sir.
What were you thinking, sir?
Yeah. I'm not sure this is on the up and up. I was not told that there would be paddling. This is, what is this? Dazed and confused. Ah.
There's going to be paddle. I'd walk in with like a ping pong paddle. I was told there'd be paddling. When's the ping pong? No, sir. This paddle. So yeah, that's what they were saying right there. So the Astros, they did a vote of the best front offices in baseball. This would have been an article that as recently as like 3 years ago,
yeah.
Like James Click, you know, the first year of James Click after COVID, I would have been so excited to click this and see where the Astros front office stood, you know? And certainly during the Luno era, they would have stood atop until all the sign stealing stuff came out. The Athletic polled 40 baseball executives, okay, current baseball executives, and they had them vote 1 through 5 on the 5 best front offices in baseball.
Okay.
With sort of an MVP point system, you know,
yeah,
10,
yeah.
7, 5, 3, and 1 points. Out of 40 baseball executives voting 1 through 5, the Astros got 1/3 place vote, and that's it. There are 39 other baseball executives that don't think the Astros even are worth giving a top 5 vote to as far as their front office goes.
Wow. Wow.
Puts them 13th overall among front offices in baseball. That's crazy.
Based
I mean, it's not, it's, by the way, it's not yeah. crazy. I don't think the evaluation is inaccurate. It's just crazy to think this was a team that had a book written about how cutting edge they
right,
were.
Right, right. Yeah, that things have changed drastically.
Yeah.
I mean, you go from Luno to Click to a consortium.
Yeah.
I mean, like, because I don't think Dana Brown has nearly the same power or decision making ability that Luno and Click had. I think Click was kind of in
certainly not Luno.
Click was that transition as Crane was trying to figure out just as whether he wanted the job or not. It feels like that's what it feels like. It feels like, yeah, the Astros won a World Series, but for the most part, Crane thought that was all the residue of Jeff Luno and whatever input he had into it. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and hire Dana Brown, but I'm really the one in charge here.
Yeah, that's tough to look at. And the problem is that this poll comes out amidst a 7-18 start. Like, I'd feel better if I had a front office that was well thought of around baseball and I'm on a 7-18 start, because this is a group of people who can find solutions.
Well, there was always going to be a question with Luno himself. Okay, how are you going to extend this window out, or whatever you call it, if it's not a window? Like, how are you going to extend this competitiveness out once the pipeline dries up and is not the same as what it was? So, I mean, would have had those questions about Luno, except that, you know, there would have been some continuity there, obviously. We'd still be having that same question with James Click, I suppose.
Yep.
But, yeah, now everything's been dismantled to such a large degree. You got four players left on the team from 2017. And lately, after being spoiled with year after year of various pitchers coming up or various players coming up who hadn't been top-rated prospects, but you get Jeremy Peña's, the MVP of the World Series. You bring up a Framber. You bring up a Javier.
Yeah.
Now it's starting to really, the rubber's meeting the road in terms of reality. Like, okay, Spencer Arrighetti is, as of right now, like, I know, look, he struck about a bunch of guys out after giving up four runs in the first inning.
Yeah.
It's just not the same, man.
It's not the same. And I will tell you who has gone into hiding of late, the 162-game people.
Yeah.
It's a long season, people.
Well, you're back to now. The comparisons kept being like, hey, they haven't had a start this bad since 2016. They didn't make the ball. And then it was like, hey, they haven't been this bad since 2014. Now we're all the way back to they haven't had been this bad in a lot of respects since 2013.
The really bad team.
When they had a payroll of what, Sean?
$18 million.
$18 million. What's their payroll this year?
It's $250 million. The third most in baseball. Yep. Jeff Bagwell was at the Brothers in Arms golf tournament yesterday, the one that John and Landry were doing their show from yesterday. Adam Winkler of ABC 13 caught up with him and asked him about Jose Abreu.
I really do. It's certainly not from a lack of caring and a lack of effort. He works as hard as anybody. And when you get older and you struggle, it's a lot more difficult. And you know the old saying, can't feed dogs, old dogs new tricks. Well, he's got to learn some new tricks right now. And the only one who can do this is him. And I do feel bad. I do feel bad for the team. I feel bad for Jose because he's taking a lot of brunt of it. But it's not just Jose. I mean, we got a lot of things that have gone wrong. It's just a part of it right now.
Yeah, it's bad. It's
that doesn't feel. That didn't fill me with enthusiasm either.
No.
Like, he's got to do something that's, by the way, really hard to do.
Yeah.
This guy that hasn't looked like he can do anything difficult at all.
It's a lot harder when you're older. Like, yippee. Okay, good.
At least they found a way to work him into the game last night. There's nothing I like more than an old guy going in late in a game when it's 40 degrees out.
Who sucks at defense?
Pitching matchup or something. I don't know.
It was the bottom of the eighth.
Dude, there was a way. I'll tell you what. There'd be so many excuses to make if it wasn't happening so continuously. But I swear, there was some data to back it up. The Astros pitchers have induced a boatload of soft contact. And yet, defensively, the Astros don't seem to know what to do with the soft contact.
Right.
And even like yesterday, that hit early in the game that went in it went like a ski ball. Up the front of the pitcher's mound. And then hit second base so it could skip off of second base like faster than Jose Altuve could adjust to it. In that one, right there, I want to say, well, boy, that's just some bad luck. But you're only an inning removed from Jose Altuve blindly hurling the ball at John Singleton at first base for an error and a base hit. Like, everything's awful.
How about the slow roller up the first baseline that hit the bag and Singleton looked like my aunt trying to field it. Like it was
a comedy out there. It's so weird to watch.
Really, they're a bad baseball team. Like, this is not. I know there's sprinkling of bad luck in with every baseball team. This is a bad baseball team right now.
And the thing is, though, too. Okay, like, look at errors. I haven't checked in a few days. They were hovering right around like 15th or 16th in errors per game.
Yeah.
Which, okay, so that's not bad, bad. That's mediocre. Average, but remember, yeah. This is the third highest paid team in baseball.
That's right.
And one that, when they were good, were routinely in the top five for errors allowed per game, or errors committed per game.
Multiple guys out there have won gold gloves.
They used to be super sharp. Yeah. And now they're not.
Not sharp, but
paid a boatload of money.
Did the five-headed monster of Crane, Biggio, Bagwell, Reggie Jackson, and Dana Brown get one right, though? Here was Reggie Jackson, if you recall, on John Heyman's podcast just a week or so ago, talking about the decision to back away from Blake Snell in free agency.
Being fiscally responsible, I think, is what kicked us out of the Snell deal. He signed a two-year deal, I want to say, for $62. That's too much for him. He's been hurt a couple of times. And I think there's incentives on top of that. He's also got an option on his own. And between the four or five people that make the decisions with the Astros, we don't play that game.
Yeah. All right. Ignore the scary part there about four or five people making decisions. The Jim Crane Five might have gotten this one right. Blake Snell went on the injured list yesterday after an 0-3 start with an 11.57 ERA. So they might have gotten one right. The fans who wanted Snell, they might have saved us from ourselves.
You know where else we could look if we want inspiration or to feel better about at least somebody else's bad, too?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are wondering, man, maybe Maldonado and his secret sauce of calling a great game and knowing how to manage pitchers, maybe that's what's missing?
Right.
Just take heart in knowing that only one of two teams worse than the Astros in team ERA right now is the Chicago White Sox. Martin Maldonado being the team that has that. So the Houston has a 5.14 ERA. The fighting Chicago Maldonado Sox have a 5.20 ERA. They could be really bad if he weren't there calling the games.
Yeah, they might be. What are they, their last or their second?
They're second to last.
Second to
last.
Last
is Colorado.
They might be 30th.
Dead last. Look at this, though, Sean. You got two teams going to play in Mexico City. Elevation, 14,000 feet?
Oh, yeah.
Houston with a 5.14 ERA. Colorado with a 5.61 ERA.
Over.
These games might last forever.
I know.
We might see our first ever triple-digit MLB score.
Seriously.
That'd be awesome.
9,000-foot elevation and two really crappy teams.
It's going to be one of those types of games. In football, it happens a lot where you're like, all right, well, to get a real – you got to cut out this one game because it was – remember Miami a couple of years ago? Their defense let up all those whatever.
Yeah.
You got to cut that out to get the real picture. Baseball out of 100 – these two games might actually skew the stats.
Outliers,
that much.
Yeah. These need to be – once they eliminate.
It's awful, man. Yeah. It's really bad. Now – I mean, like, the
it's bad. All right, final segment coming up. It's draft day. Night one of the draft is tonight. Final draft storylines as we head into tonight. What are the areas of intrigue for both the Texans and the top of the draft? We will get to that coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better over
here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so a follow-up text. Apparently the B-Sci-Fi is an Alabama football fraternity, according to somebody.
What the hell? There's an Alabama football fraternity?
I guess.
Wait a second. That's a pretty big drop-off from second biggest black fraternity to that's an Alabama football
fraternity? Yes.
Oh, wait. Maybe that's the one that all the football players are in. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Maybe so.
Because I was in a fraternity that all the football players
were
in.
Were you? You were in a frat?
DU was a lot of the... It was almost all... When I was there, it was almost all football players in DU. And then there are another couple of fraternities that it was weird back then.
We didn't have them at Notre Dame.
We didn't have them at all.
Have fraternities,
the Greek system was really big at Cornell because they didn't have, there wasn't a lot of housing. So it was like 50% of the student population was in a fraternity or sorority.
Just living in fraternity houses.
And there are huge fraternity houses. You know, we had like over 100 people in our fraternity. But when I was there, it was all football. It was pretty meatheadish.
Did you bring up the IQ or bring down the IQ?
IQ is different than like actual scholastic performance. So I think I raised the IQ, but it really hurt the GPA.
The GPA, okay, yeah. Gotcha. So final draft storylines for tonight. The quarterbacks are going to be the big one. You know, almost like every other draft is a big quarterback draft. You know, and this one, I think, is going to look a lot like 2021, where Trevor Lawrence went first, generational prospect, Caleb Williams going first, generational prospect.
Yep.
And then we've got 2, 3, 4, one that could go in the top 10 or 15, kind of like that draft.
Yeah, you know, you got a bunch of quarterbacks that basically it's almost like you're a woman. All these GMs out there that might be looking at Drake May or anybody, because I put Drake May in that. Second, like that, the official second tier. I think Jaden Daniels is like 1B.
I agree.
But anyways, once you get past Drake May especially, that's like all these GMs are 38 years old and they're looking to have a child and they're going to settle. They're going to settle with a J.J. McCarthy or somebody like that. Just give me somebody that might work out, it might not, but I got to put a baby in this belly. So that's where... That's where you're looking, right? If you're the Vikings, you're like, put a baby in this belly,
That's right. That's right.
Come on, Bo Nix. Time's a wasting. Let's get down to business.
Let's go, Penix.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let's say, get some Penix up in here.
Big Penix energy.
It's time.
Yeah.
Clock's a ticking.
So I think for Texan fans, if we're just watching the whole quarterback thing unfold, it's nice you don't have to worry about it because we've got one. The Minnesota thing is one I'll be watching very closely because I think Minnesota made that trade with the Texans to get the 23rd pick so they could start to pile up some of their artillery and then make a big push up the board, possibly on draft night, to go get a guy. If Minnesota is still sitting there at 11 and 23 and they're taking non-quarterbacks with both those picks, I think they're going to get destroyed by people.
I think including Vikings fans.
Yes.
And including, Mike Florio is a big Vikings fan.
That's what we got to watch out for. If that happens... Now I'm kind of rooting for it to happen.
Yeah.
Does Florio kill the Vikings for not moving up and getting a quarterback?
Is it widely known that Florio is a Vikings fan? I always thought he was a Steelers fan because he's from around there.
Yeah. Ross Tucker was the one who told us that the other day. Yeah. I had no idea he's a big Vikings fan.
And then
like
the next day there was a post on Pro Football Talk about the Vikings and I was like, oh yeah.
About Justin
Jefferson.
This is
totally the way a fan would say it. Like, why aren't they trading Justin Jefferson?
Right. He wanted them to trade Justin Jefferson for the second pick in the draft.
Yeah.
It was a written sports talk radio call.
Yeah, it was.
It was like he's calling our show. Let's go to Mike in West Virginia.
Trade
Mike,
Justin
what do you
Jefferson
got?
For number 2 overall. Like, well, great if they would do it.
Yeah.
But what the hell are you talking about?
I need that to happen now with Florio tonight. We've got a texter brings up a good one. Looking at tonight's draft through a Texans lens, texter says, don't be shocked, but I think the Texans make a splash tonight. Trading Mills, Pierce, or Nico Collins.
Oh.
I don't think they're trading Nico Collins tonight. Well, that's interesting, though.
Like,
Amon-Ra St. Brown trade. Are the Texans a team trading a marquee receiver?
Is that something that Nick Caserio had in mind? Not as a plan, but that, man, you know what? If we did... No, this is, you know what? This is too strong a draft for wide receivers. It doesn't make any sense that people would trade that much for Nico Collins.
After one good year.
Plus having to pay him and everything when there's this much young talent in the draft. So I think that's why Stephon Diggs was available for what he was.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing to kind of workshop a little bit just in light of how much Amon-Ra St. Brown got on his extension yesterday because Nico's up for an extension. Now, here, I'll just give you my very basic take on Nico Collins going anywhere other than staying here with the Texans. He was part of the uniform reveal.
Oh, yeah.
He literally was one of the models walking on the stage.
Flexing and everything.
On Tuesday,
Damian Pierce and Davis Mills, I don't know what you would get for them right now, but it's certainly not enough to move back up into the first round.
No. Now, I think those... Now, among the players who I could see getting traded, though, this weekend for draft capital, those are probably two of the top guys. Like, Damian Pierce, change of scenery.
Yeah.
Team that watched his 2022 season and said, okay, he doesn't fit what they did in 23, the Texans, but we run something more of like a power running game. He'd fit really well with us, and he wouldn't be very pricey. I'm guessing a late day three pick probably gets it done if you were to want to do that. I do wonder if there's confidence in the building over there that Damian Pierce is going to figure this thing out. Like,
right.
You know?
Yeah, and I do think that they probably, like a lot of teams, this isn't a New England South thing or anything, but I think that they probably look at running back kind of like a commoditized position where you're going to be able to find somebody out there. Well, like, don't worry about what his name is right now. We're going to find somebody out there. If they get what they think is a good offer for Damian Pierce, I think they would probably move him. If they got like if somebody offered a fourth rounder for him,
I'd do it in a second. Yeah. I love Damian Pierce, but I would do it for a fourth in a second. Mills is an interesting one just because he's now had a year in the system. There's a lot of teams that run this system. I think you're better off with Mills. Even if you were to draft a quarterback on day three, I think you're better off with Mills hanging on to him till camp.
Yeah.
Like if Joe Burrow had gone down with a season-ending injury in camp last year, like the Bengals and Davis Mills had been in the system for a year,
yeah,
I think the Bengals would have called the Texans just seeing what the price was on Davis Mills.
I'll tell you the thing to keep in mind, and I'm the first one to tell you don't read into top 30 visits too much, but Spencer Rattler, for whatever reason, took a trip to Houston to meet with the Texans.
Yeah.
And if that is to be trusted, we know from the press conference the other day that Nick said basically it sounded like a few of the reported top 30 visits were false. So, but for whatever it's worth, Spencer Rattler met with the Texans.
He did say that.
And was Rattler a top QB recruit?
In college, he was number one.
He was number one overall.
Coming out of high school.
Yeah. Nick's got a thing for guys that showed extreme ability out of high school. At various times, they've had three different guys who are the number one overall quarterback recruit in the country.
He has.
Yeah.
So
you might like the upside of Rattler if he falls further in the draft.
I like the upside of Rattler if he's there in day three. I don't think he will be. Rattler's name is getting... His name is now brushing up against the back end of those top six quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, it's more like he's closer to being like a surprise second round pick than he is being a fourth round pick.
My other thought about why the Texans would have met with Spencer Rattler was that perhaps maybe they wanted intel on Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver out of South Carolina, whose career never really took off at all until Spencer Rattler showed up.
It
took until Spencer Rattler's second year, but Xavier Leggett didn't do much at all in his first 4 years. Basically surpassed his by twofold, surpassed his first 4 years of production in total in his fifth and final year at South Carolina.
Yes. We're big Leggett fans on this show.
Just because he's so country.
He's as country, if not countryer, than Damian Pierce, I would say. Yeah.
Damian Pierce is from a little, he's not as from far out, I don't think, as Xavier Leggett.
He's from Georgia, Damian Pierce.
Right, but he's from like just north of the panhandle there. He's close enough to the redneck Riviera and everything. I don't know if it's quite as country.
They're both really country. Now, this is
You know what, though? We always underestimate. It gets super country super fast.
Very quick.
Outside of any city.
Yeah, down in the south. Yeah. Here's how country is Xavier Leggett. He's this country.
Oh, man, I'd say the deep ball, man. But I really feel like any way that I get the ball in my hand, I could get it to that end zone.
if you don't want that guy playing for your football team, then you don't know football, my friend.
You don't know football.
You never watched a damn football movie in your life. Don't know that Xavier Leggett comes in and like one of the guys from the city takes him out to show him what life in the big city is like.
Man.
Xavier Leggett's not quite sure if this is the life for him.
Yes.
But he finds a coach who believes in him.
Right.
Yeah.
I think CJ and Leggett would be a fun combination. You got CJ, the Cali kid, city, you know, and then you got Leggett. One more time, Ben.
I'd say the deep ball, man, but I really feel like any way that I get the ball in my hand, I could get it to that end zone.
Hell yeah, you can.
Do not want to go fishing with him.
Hell yeah.
Lopez.
I know.
Oh, my gosh, Lopez. Oh, you want to take your podcast to the next level.
He's the man.
Xavier Leggett.
By the way.
I'm not staring at your nose.
That's better.
It's better. So I didn't wear a Band-Aid today.
Yeah.
Is it that bad still?
No, it's not bad. I only knew to look for it. But yeah. It's not better. Like, the nice thing about it is that when you're staring at somebody's nose, you're
it
all...
It looks like you're looking at their eyes.
Right. It's not like a mole on your chin or something. Yeah.
Right. Why is he looking there?
What do they call him? The big...
A goiter. Yeah. Why is he looking at my... Oh, yeah, I have a goiter.
Here's the other thing, a little hidden known fact on... I think I've got this right. I could be dead wrong. Isn't he South Carolina?
Yes.
That's a Texan school.
That is a Texan school.
Bob McNair, born and raised.
Tribute to Bob McNair, draft Xavier Leggett.
Bob McNair, born and raised.
Jonathan Joseph?
I think they still have a home in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Well, Jonathan Joseph also has a little, the dialect there. The Geechee,
I forget what it's
the
called.
Geechee dialect. His is more fast talking. It doesn't sound as country, but he could. I bet it really comes out if he's talking with Xavier Leggett.
Yeah,
you know, two South Carolina guys from the low country there, and yeah.
Hey, John, we were talking earlier in the show about Caleb Williams crying into his mother's bosom after a game this year.
Mm-hmm.
Turned into a fairly long list of times where it's okay to cry.
Yeah,
if you're a man.
Yeah.
Do you have any in particular on your power ranking when it's okay? Like, I don't think...
And not even close, is when you have your kid.
Crying when you have a kid.
When you have a kid. I mean, I did all three of mine.
Where do you come out on fainting when you have two kids at the same time?
Did you faint?
I fainted. Yeah. Fainted.
Why have I not ever heard this story?
They wheeled him out in a wheelchair.
Have you told me this before?
No, I told it on the air before, though.
Yeah.
My first two kids are boy-girl twins. Yeah. My ex-wife...
I like the girl better.
My ex-wife...
If we're being honest.
James listens. No, but Judy's your... She's your spirit animal.
She's my people.
Yeah. It's nothing against you, James, if you're listening.
No, just he's really a hell of a good Judy. Guy. Congratulations. Good luck.
My...
not a lot of lawyers in this world, so...
That's Sammy.
Oh, Sammy,
yeah,
I got
no,
that
right. James works for a liquor distributor. You'd love James. So my ex-wife is pretty tiny, so it was tough on her carrying twins.
Yeah.
So she had to get a C-section 9 weeks early, so the twins were premature.
Oh, wow.
So it really looked like
you're already nervous.
You see those things pop out.
You're already nervous.
You're looking at two fetuses, basically.
I'm already in a room where there's a C-section going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
premature. Well, not premature,
but I was on the right side of the curtain to not see any of the I was just seeing the carnage
that was coming from
behind the curtain. I wasn't seeing the actual procedure, but procedure ends, hear a couple crying, and they come and they hand me these two little creatures,
two little rodents, right?
That look like I bought them from Mattel. Shut, you know, I'm like, oh my god, and I started getting like my legs just started jelly legs.
I could see,
and
that.
I had to hand scary, the kids back to the nurses. And I blacked out for a little bit. Next thing I know, I'm in a wheelchair getting wheeled out to the waiting room where my
Your wife is walking next to you.
My ex-
Patting you
her
on the back.
Hanging
You'll
out.
Be all right. You'll be all right.
No, my ex-wife's whole family is waiting there in the waiting room in the lobby. There's like 15 of them there. And they're waiting for the door to open and get the news.
Comes you.
Door swings open and out I come in a wheelchair. I think that was the day my divorce began.
Family, yeah.
When your child is born, you can cry.
I was already perceived to be soft because I was a Yankee.
Right. And they're like old Southern Louisiana.
Cajun
like rural.
As hell.
Yeah. Like, so be a man, damn it.
He's already paddling upstream. Man. Yeah. Good times.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.